Right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 1. So Matthew, one of the Gospels, one of the Synoptic Gospels, Synoptic just simply meaning that these three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are similar in the way they communicate the life and ministry of Jesus. Matthew is written seemingly with the Jewish audience in mind. When you read through the Gospel, you can definitely connect the dots as to he wants to help the Jews to think about Jesus, and to get to know Jesus, especially from the perspective of the Old Testament scriptures. The Gospel of Matthew begins with a genealogy, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And this genealogy communicates who Jesus is, rooting his humanity in a line of individuals through whom God brought promises and covenants, bearing forth that Jesus was to come. You'll note verse 1 of chapter 1 that it speaks of Jesus Christ, it speaks of the son of David, and it speaks of Abraham. We know that Abraham was given the covenant called the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis chapter 12, and repeated in chapter 15 and chapter 17, and then to his son Isaac, and then to Jacob, promises of land and seed and blessing. And we know about David, who's of the tribe of Judah, who was told that it was to be through him that there would be a king upon the throne of Israel forever. The genealogy then begins at Abraham and brings us all the way up to Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 16, we read, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. That term Christ, again, a very Jewish term, and it points to Messiah, the anointed one, the one that the Jews were looking for. And so directly associating Jesus with the Messiah. In verse 17, we read, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon into Christ are 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As Christmas season is upon us, and as we like to do, rehearse, remind, remember the significance of this time, we're brought to consider the birth of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say this before. How many different Christmas messages can you really preach? How many different angles? The temptations of pastors is to come up with something creative and something new, something clever, something catchy, something unique. The temptation is strong, but I fall short. But yet I find abundant blessing in reminding myself and reminding my church that Jesus Christ became flesh and he dwelt among us. The very term birth. When we consider a birth, we consider the coming forth of a baby from the womb of a woman. that's amongst mankind. We could, of course, we know that animals of all different kinds give birth. It's a very physical thing. It's a very physical reality. Those of you, those of us who've been present at the birth of a child and or the birth of a pet or an animal of some sort, all realize the physical aspect, the nature of birth. I had the joy and privilege of being able to catch, if you will, my daughter Faith. I don't know what the proper term is, but the babies do come out quite quickly once the head and the shoulders have exited that canal. And, you know, it is an amazing experience. And I wish I would have done it more. But my ninth child, I finally was able to do it. And yes, there's a lot involved physically with the birth of a child. The physical aspects of it. But it's so beautiful because here comes life. Here came my daughter, Faith Elizabeth. And, you know, she comes out, and I didn't know who she was until her whole body came out, and there she was. I know she's my daughter, and I know her name, and I know she's a part of our family, and my wife and I rejoice. Birth. And, you know, I see you guys smiling, those of you blessed and experienced that, those of you that, Lord willing, is to come. And I do hope that you get to experience birth. But it's very physical. And the scriptures tell us that's how God came into the world. Mm-hmm. Right. I want you to realize that God is God. Well, that's profound, Pastor. But no, really, think about it. God is God. He's sovereign. He's creator. And the Bible sets all of this up as he's the one in the beginning. He's the one to put everything into place. He's the one that created mankind to breathe life into men. He's the one that made woman from the side, from the flesh of Adam. God made us in our flesh, in our physical nature. And he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, didn't he? Of course, we understand Genesis and how all that unfolded with Genesis chapter 3, they sinned, and thus the curse of sin was upon the earth. But nevertheless, the flesh of mankind, it remained, but now cursed. And thus, here we are today in our flesh, and it is cursed. And it's a great trouble, our flesh is, causing us pain and suffering. And God knew that. And God knows that living in this world is hard. It's difficult. It's fraught with evil and death. And yet it came. The birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded of to put her away privately. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary thy wife, for For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, is the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Thus, this is how the Gospel of Matthew begins. Jesus Christ, being rooted in his humanity as a descendant of Abraham, as a descendant of David, being directly tied to the process of birth. Note how Matthew emphasizes the physical things in this passage. He speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ. He speaks of how Joseph, understanding that she was pregnant, had a mind to put her away privately. Being pregnant is a very physical reality. And to be pregnant is obvious. A woman has a difficult time hiding the baby in the womb. You'll note that the concept of bringing forth, you see that in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. You note that in verse 25, he knew her not, so she had brought forth her firstborn son. You know what brought forth means? That the baby in the womb is now presented to this world. This is a very physical flesh reality that mankind understands. As we also note the physical and the fleshly type things in this passage, we note that in verse 24 it says, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He took her to be his own. This calls to mind the Jewish practices of weddings and betrothals. The betrothal would have kind of like our engagements, but it was a promise between the two families. The term in the King James was espoused. And it was during that time period when they were promised to one another, considered already to be husband and wife, but yet not being living together. This was a very public thing. Community understood betrothals. And then there was still a wedding that would be yet future. But of course, this very physical reality of a pregnancy now alerts everyone to something has happened. And of course, because we are rooted in the physical in our world, and because there is so much in this passage that is supernatural, the minds of the neighbors and immediately went to something is wrong. Something has happened that should not have. Thus you see Joseph considering to put her away, divorce, separate. I'm going to break this betrothal because she's been unfaithful. She's pregnant. This is the physical reality that she carries a baby in the womb, and it is clear, it is obvious. I cannot imagine, of course, I'm not a woman, but what happened within her as the, I mean, of course she is told by the angel, and Luke, we're not in Luke tonight, but Luke, of course, relays what the angel told to Mary about how she was going to conceive a child of the Holy Ghost. And of course, it really communicates in Luke her faith and her willingness to trust. But I have to believe, and this is my surmising, that when after that whole ordeal with the angel, that first time she went out into the public and the turmoil that would have gone on in her mind. Did the angel really say this? Is it really true? And as the baby begins to manifest himself in her womb, she understands and knows, and yet the physical reality that everybody sees, they do not understand, do not know what she's been told by God. And so that tension between a world whose focus on the flesh and a woman who's living by faith. I'm pregnant of the Holy Ghost. Imagine telling that to your neighbor, to your girlfriend, to whoever you might see, and explaining that and the response. Imagine going to the temple and telling that to the priest. Yeah, right. There's no precedent. I'm just trying to seat the Christmas story in the physical for us here, helping us to remember that this is a physical reality. Also, do you note here that verse 25, it says, and Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Knew her not is another way of saying he did not sexually be with her until after she had brought forth her son, Jesus. That's physical. It's a physical reality. And the text tells us that he was not physically intimate with her. And so we get this physical aspect of the Christmas story, that's of the birth, the coming of Jesus into our world. But of course, if we were just simply looking for the physical, we would be left with confusion. If we simply just looked at what physically took place and disregarded God, we would be left lost. We would be left in doubt. We would say, no way. This is a fairy tale. Let's note the supernatural. Let's note that which is of God. And we know and recognize that God, he brings us into the world physically, yes. He blesses us with these bodies that we have. But in this situation, Mary and Joseph, of course, normal human beings like you and I, but what does God do? Verse 18 tells us, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The text is very careful to help us see that it was before Joseph and Mary had been physically together. Mary conceives a child of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, as we hear that, here we are sitting in a church, and we've been in church for many, many years, all of us here tonight. We've been around the Christmas story many times. We're comfortable with this. We're comfortable with what has taken place, and we just adopt this as doctrine. But let us not miss how, and I use this respectfully, outrageous this is. This can't happen. Who's the Holy Ghost anyway? As you think about the world and the testimony of our world, who, if they believe in God, who knows who that God is? It's a figment of their imagination or what they choose to believe. We as the Church of Jesus Christ, our understanding of God has a foundation. That foundation, if you want to look at it chronologically from where we are tonight, is the Old Testament. And chronologically, we understand that God is creator. We understand that God has worked supernaturally amongst men before. That God spoke the world into existence. That God brought a worldwide flood upon this entire earth and brought a family of 8 people through it. That God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel so that the people would spread across the world. That God gave a son to a woman in her old age, Sarah. There's a couple of periods of miracles in the Bible where miracles are very prevalent. The period of Moses, where God did 10 miraculous judgments upon Egypt, where God brought 2 million plus people through the Red Sea with the water on one side and the other one night. Yeah. It is amazing. It's where God split a rock and out comes water. It's where God, for every day during their journeys, fed them with manna. It's where God took them across the Jordan River. It's where God gave them this land and gave them victories over their enemies. It's this God, our God, who through Elijah and Elisha and their ministry to the kings of Israel did miracles, things that just couldn't happen except for God being involved. It's the testimonies of the kings that we've studied in 2 Chronicles, those who trusted in God and saw God bring great victories over their enemies. Impossible situations. God's people are surely doomed. And yet God brings the victory. God fights for his people. And so after 400 silent years following Malachi, we have no recorded revelation from God to the people. And here comes what we call the New Testament. Here comes AD, the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. here comes Jesus. But Jesus, he doesn't descend from the cloud. That's his second coming. But his first coming, he comes in a very physical way. In a way that all mankind understands as far as birth is concerned. But his conception makes no sense at all to the human logical mind. In other words, it demands, hear this, it demands faith. What will make Christmas sing for you is embracing your faith in the midst of the celebration. Understanding how the Christmas accounts in the scriptures, the reality of Christ coming into your world, into my world, into our realm, demands faith. And there's plenty of opportunity. We understand the birth of a child. We understand the physical union of a man and a woman. But we don't understand how a woman can become pregnant of the Holy Ghost. And yet that is what the scriptures tell us. Doubts may arise, people will comment, people may ridicule, people may mock. You may question, I may question. But what does your faith sing? Where does your faith direct your gaze? I recently have enjoyed considering that truth. Looking for faith, considering how my faith is directing me to truth. And as I consider the text before us this evening, and it tells me that before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. My faith says, there, you see, you need God. You need God to make sense of this Christmas story. You need God to make sense of this Christmas season for you. You want Christmas to sing? Then consider the aspects of the story that awaken your faith, that push you to believe. To believe God does the impossible. She was found a child of the Holy Ghost. What else do we see that's beyond the physical? An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. Now we're given this testimony. We're not there with him. We're not told a specific timeline, but we are told that this is after he understands and realizes his betrothed is pregnant and this baby is not his. Angels of the Lord bear messages from God. When you see the term angel, think messenger. And when you think messenger, what do you think? There's a message. Right?
Very good.
I mean, that's basic. But here we have the angel of the Lord that's bringing a message, and the message is from God to Joseph. And it communicates what? It says, the angel says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, as you consider this, I want you to consider Joseph and his faith. as he's contemplating this dream, where does his faith arise? What is demanding him? What is it that he needs to believe? What is outside the realm of physical things that he can do and control? Well, Mary, my betrothed, is pregnant. And she's pregnant of the Holy Ghost. It seems, according to the text, that the messenger continues in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Here we have the reality of our physical sin-cursed flesh, our sin. And the Almighty God, and the two meet. And Joseph has told us, she's going to bring forth a son, and his name you will call Jesus, you will call him Jesus, which, by the way, is the Greek form of Joshua, which is my name. And I like my name. And there's often times I will use my name as a segue to the gospel. Because you know what it means. Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. And salvation communicates a need. And what is my need? What is your need? To be saved from my sin. And so Jesus came. He shall save his people from their sins. Salvation, faith. Am I going to believe this or not? You want Christmas to sing? Yes. Then let your faith be awakened by the reality that Jesus is the Savior who has saved me from my sin. Matthew includes, of course, the prophecy from Isaiah. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, again, this is a supernatural fulfillment of a prophecy some 800 years ago, 800 years prior to this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Yes, this is supernatural. Yes, God is with us. And so therefore, dear church, as we begin, if you will, the Christmas season, allow the Word of God tonight to awaken your faith. Get excited and rejoice that the Christmas story is not bound up in physical things. It involves the physical, but it demands the involvement of God. And therefore, our faith. So God, thank you for the blessing of your word. And thank you for awakening our hearts tonight to the beautiful reality of how much we need you, even to just comprehend and understand what you did in coming and being among us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.